probably meant that Paul had led Timothy to the Lord. He had also watched him grow up spiritually and then eventually made him a partner in the ministry. And to understand how highly Paul thought of this young disciple, I wanted to read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 and following first, which he said about, which he wrote about Timothy. He says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." So Timothy, in that context, had become a great example of exactly what it meant to be a servant of the Lord and what that kind of person should be. Someone who puts his own self-interest on the back burner and genuinely cared about the spiritual welfare of others. This is what he had told the Philippian believers to be like back in chapter 2, which was the kind of attitude that Christ exemplified himself in leaving heaven and ultimately to go to the cross for us. So Timothy, he's saying, there's really no one else quite like him. One who has this kind of care for people that is so Christ-like in his own personal walk. And so with chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, we come toward the end of his letter and his final charge to Timothy, at least in this communication. And so I think Paul gets very personal with his statements. And he wants Timothy to continue to make the grade spiritually. The difficulty with Timothy, it appears, was that he was not only young, but timid in his personality. And there was a host of problems in the church that he was going to serve. So, as I thought of Paul's words to Timothy, which he says is his son in the faith, I thought of my sons in the flesh right now and what's going on in their lives. 3 out of 4 of them are still in school. And I hope eventually they will finally get out of school. Josh and Gabe are at the very end of their training, or at least this stage of it. And so they're in a position where they cannot afford to have any kind of failure, certainly no F in regard to what they're doing. Jordan is in his 3rd year at Baptist Bible College, and he has a little ways to go. Jordan probably wouldn't even care if he got an F now and then. Yes, he would. But I'd like to tell you this morning for a moment about Caitlin, because for the first time ever, she had all A's and B's on her midterm report for the first 9 weeks of this school year. So we're pretty happy about that at the Grieve House. Now, of course, most kids would never want to get an F on their grade card in school. But Paul tells Timothy in another way in 1 Timothy 6, 11, and 12 that there are 3 F's. That you certainly do want on your spiritual report card that God gives. In verse 11 there in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, he begins with, "But you, man of God." So he immediately starts off with an emphatic contrast at the very beginning of the sentence. Okay, contrast with what? Well, the subject matter that he had just been addressing in the preceding context. Actually, we see it's a contrast with whom? Well, it says some people in verse 10, and then the people of verse 9. All right, so what does that say? Verse 9, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, Paul doesn't necessarily mean that we can't have money or that it's wrong to have anything more than just the basics of food and clothing, but that we shouldn't make that the driving force of our lives. It shouldn't be our focus. It shouldn't be the all-consuming pursuit in life. Any pursuit, in fact, that has a direct negative effect toward our spiritual commitment may be even disastrous, and that's what those verses describe there. The some people are the people who've gone after money and or the things of the world. So I want you to listen, Timothy, he says, Michael, Devin, Tyler, Amanda, and Alyssa too. If you want to be a man or woman of God, then don't chase after the things that everybody else in the world is chasing after. Don't be like other people. Be different. And isn't that exactly what Jesus has been saying as we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount? The hypocrites, don't be like them, and the pagans, don't be like them. Verse 10 says, they've wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, young people, does that sound like a very good life to you? Now, pursuing the wrong things is self-destructive. So it's a very good thing here this morning or any time that we have people coming, especially young people, to commit or say in their public baptism that they want to pursue something else. That is, they want to follow Christ. All right, now, the first F that you definitely want on your spiritual report card is flee. Flee worldly temptations and desires. It says, but you, man of God, flee from all of this. The first step to make sure you're headed in the right direction is to notice what the wrong direction is. Don't go there. Flee that and take off the other direction. I love the verses over in Proverbs chapter 4, 14 and 15, which speak to this as well. It says, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it, turn from it, and go your own way. I mean, he couldn't have put it more powerfully or emphasize it anymore. Don't have anything to do with it. Don't go that direction. Don't step foot on that path. Avoid it in every way. Now, there are times when running away is a mark of cowardice, but there are other times, the Bible says, when fleeing is actually a mark of wisdom and a means to spiritual victory. Joseph in his encounter with Potiphar's wife is one of the best examples of this. So don't be afraid to say no, young people, if the people around you are headed in the wrong direction. There was a young lady a few years back whose mother was talking to Terry, and she, her daughter was a senior at Arcanum High School. The mom was talking to Terry, and she said her daughter was actually an honor student at AHS and was planning on attending Ohio State, and she had just gone there for a campus visit. And she was meeting with students at the university who were actually in the honors program at OSU. So she was an honor student at high school and visiting kids, students at OSU in the honors program there. And she had an overnight stay. And during that, just that brief visit, she was asked by a couple of guys if she wanted to do some drugs with them. And I would say probably they were inviting her to do other things as well. See, this fleeing may not necessarily be a literal fleeing or running, although it could require that in certain situations. That's how I picture Joseph. But it is spiritually separating oneself from sin. Flee. But it's not enough if that's all we do. Secondly, pursue, or the F word is follow after godly character. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue or follow after righteousness. Don't be a man of the world. Be a man or woman of God. That puts you in high company. There are only a few people that have ever been designated with this title, man of God. Some select individuals like Moses, Samuel, David, Elijah. Pretty high company. So separation from evil is not enough if you don't also purpose to move toward the right things. If you don't do that, then you'll just end up falling back into the old patterns of behavior, the sinful ones. Galatians tells us in the imagery of taking off and putting on a set of clothes. So spiritually, we're to put off the unrighteous behavior and then to put on righteousness. That is, replace the old habits with new ones. So instead of chasing after that which lasts for only a little while, chase after the things that are of personal virtue and eternal value, such as, and he lists them in verse 11, godliness. Refers to one's internal character, and then secondly to one's external conduct. Faith might be translated there, faithfulness. It's been said that the greatest ability is dependability. So you don't have to have great ability to please God. You just need to be faithful. That's what he's after. Love, there is the agape love that's willing to sacrifice for the sake of others. It seeks to give first, not to gain. Endurance or patience carries with it the idea of enduring adversity. There are two words in the New Testament that speak to this. The one means to remain under, and the other means to bear up under. So as we're willing to stay under the adversity or the trial in our lives, we also bear up under it faithfully. We're determined to be faithful even in those circumstances. Gentleness is, or meekness is not weakness. It is power under control. And endurance, if you notice, goes with gentleness. They need to be together, because you can have the strength of endurance and courageous character without meekness, and that could make a person into a dominant tyrant. And then godliness. Godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Sounds like a mature, completely well-rounded individual. But that's not all. The third thing, the third F, is fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This is the language of the athletic contest, of the ancient games that Paul loved to allude to or to illustrate the Christian life with. He often used the word from which we get the English word agonize, straining, giving one's best to succeed. My mind goes immediately back just to a couple months ago when we were watching the Olympics, and you could just see the agonizing in the faces of those athletes, the sprinters, the wrestlers, the swimmers, straining with every ounce of energy that they had. That teaches us the way that we should intensely struggle for the faith. Struggle to please God. Take hold of the eternal life, verse 12, in no way means that you gain eternal life by your efforts. It doesn't mean that if you have these godly traits, that's what gets you a spot in heaven. We went over that. There's nothing outwardly that we ever do that justifies us so that we are saved. It's an internal matter of faith. It's what we do in our souls in trusting Christ as Savior. But I think it means the complete appropriation at all times, the fact that you do possess eternal life, Claim those benefits of eternal life now. Let it work in your daily experience. Or it could possibly be a reference to rewards. In other words, lay a hold of that life which is truly living, that life in eternity, the eternal rewards in the future, in eternity. It is this new life, the higher life in Christ, that baptism signifies, and these baptism candidates this morning and for every Christian. What we're called to. The end of verse 12 says, to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, to me, that sounds very much like Timothy's public baptism. We've made the point that getting saved is a matter of the heart. It is trusting Christ from the spiritual heart. It's confessing to Christ from your heart that you believe. All of these baptism candidates have indicated to me that they have done that. So then this water baptism would be that outward public confession before witnesses of that truth. So I think Timothy is being referred to in his own public baptism by Paul. And he wants him to remember back to that. And he encourages him to flee, follow, fight. Verse 13 continues, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that summarizes his charge to Timothy. The charge is to keep the commandments without blame. It happens when you flee temptation, you follow hard after godly character, and you fight for the faith. So with your own godly life, you young people even are responsible for preserving this body of truth of Christianity without stain or reproach, blamelessly. So don't stop with your baptism today. When you leave this place, remember what your public witness has meant to all these people that are watching. Flee, follow, fight until when? Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the rest of your life, in other words. And the struggling will only be over until you are standing before Him and hopefully have made that passing grade. When you stand before Him to have your life evaluated at the judgment seat. And then Paul kind of gives a sort of benediction here in verses 15 and 16, which God will bring about in His own time, that is, the appearing of Christ Jesus. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to Him be honor and might forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give the glory to You, and that's how Paul ends this section. A strong charge to his son in the faith. Lord, may we consider that our charge today, not just these baptismal candidates, but everyone here this morning, that we would commit ourselves to this course of fleeing what's sinful and what's wrong in this world, following hard after righteousness and godly character, and fighting the good fight of the faith, contending for that truth that's been passed on to us. And I pray, Father, that very thing for these ones coming to be baptized this morning. I pray this would be a great time in their lives, a pivotal moment, Lord, that they look back on. And they remember when they are being tempted. I pray that they would remember this very day and their public commitment that they made. I pray, Lord, that You protect them in Your strength. May You be their refuge and strength, Lord. I pray that they would persevere when the times are tough. And I pray, Lord, in the end, that all would go to Your honor and glory, even as Paul ends with this benediction, because You are the Almighty and You are all glorious. In
to this, we give you the praise in Jesus' name.